need to fear.
This is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out,
way out.
Where I wanna be, 'cause that's the place for me.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm your host, Dave Nelson, and for the next 60 minutes, we will explore the vinyl history of rock and roll, zeroing in on the lesser-heard world of B-sides and album cuts, along with, at times, some not-so-subtle commentary, incorporating everything from the blues of the 30s to the rock and roll of today. This is the music we love. Let's give it the respect it deserves. Of all the divisions in Apple Corps that proved lucrative, there were markedly more that were nothing more than a money pit. Apple Electronics, led by the current shiny thing and guy who said hello to Lennon, Alex Martis, also known as Magic Alex, cost Apple nearly £5 million. The 72-track recording studio he was contracted to build in 94 Baker Street's basement was unusable. Apple Books published only once, a book titled Get Back, that was included in the Let It Be box set release of the album, available nearly anywhere but the U.S. The Apple Boutique, a retail shop described by Paul as a beautiful place for beautiful people to buy beautiful things, was opened at the corner of Baker Street and Paddington, London. After all the beans were counted, lost Apple £3.5 million. The store's last day, July 31st, 1968, the remaining inventory after the Beatles' friends took what they wanted, was given away to the public. All that was one long roundabout way of saying that this week's Vinyl Garage is part two of the demos, acetates, and canceled releases of the Beatles' Apple label and its publishing arm. John Fitch was a member of the R&B soul four-piece The Showstoppers, a band best known for 1968's Ain't Nothin' But a House Party single, which would be covered by Jay Giles in 1976. While in London promoting the above track, he recorded a couple sides under Apple Publishing on UK's Beacon label, Romantic Attitude and Stoned Out of It. Here's both.
Many girls like you
everywhere.
So why don't you leave me alone? Oh,
I don't care.
Oh, no, no, no.
Everywhere.
Yes, there's girls just like you. I know you don't want my.
Everywhere.
Sounding more like a band out of a Monty Python skit, UK's Coconut Mushroom, despite the parody-sounding name, was one of the better unsigned British bands from the late 60s and early 70s. Also recorded a number of demos while signed to Apple Publishing. The first two cuts were to be released by Decca as their first single, but the record company withdrew the contract offer. The band tried a second time, also at Decca, but that didn't end any differently than the first. Here's the aforementioned wannabe single, Run, backed with Time Will Tell, and Any Day Now, any one of which easily could have charted.
But I can see through you. day now is gonna be so fine.
Next up, a couple of artists whose careers were moving in opposite directions. Buddy Britton and Tymon. Britton, whose real name is Jeffrey Glover White, is best known as the frontman for The Regents, a job he landed in the early 60s mainly due to his likeness to Buddy Holly, recording many singles but never scoring a hit. Buddy, in 1966, in a last gasp at relevance, formed the Simon Raven Cult, releasing one single before realizing his career as a singer was over. So, what to do? Remembering he was an acquaintance of John Lennon, having waved hello to him at one time, he was offered a job at Apple Publishing as a writer and producer. But what he produced was a demo of himself, a song titled It's Better to Have Loved. A great example of how the Beatles hired friends to fill roles at Apple that didn't benefit Apple in any way. The beans, one by one, were quickly disappearing. Here's that Apple demo.
Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I know it's true, that's why I'm telling you.
Memories when you're
Hyman, his real name Stephen Murray, started his musical career at Liverpool's Cavern at age 15. At 17, moving to London, he recorded a single for Pye, The Bitter Thoughts of Little Jane, a track that featured, at the time, session musicians Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones. Shortly thereafter, coming to Apple, he recorded demos produced by Peter Asher, featuring Paul McCartney on keyboards and James Taylor on guitar, one of which, Who Needs a King, is presented here. Timon, T-I-M-O-N, now known as Timon Dog, T-Y-M-O-N, dog with two G's, toured with the Moody Blues, contributed tracks to the Clash's Santanista and Combat Rock LPs, and found a home as a multi-instrumentalist session man. Here's the aforementioned Who Needs a King.
The red carpet's been rolled up tight. The ravens have flown into the night. And by you'll hear the sound. The crown's been stolen and melted down. Wisdom means nobody to me.
All releases by one artist were published by Apple. Sometimes Apple got the publishing only on one side of the record. Dennis Coldry's second single for Decca fell into the former category, and the bands Legay and The Cups, the latter, where only the B-side was associated. Dennis Coldry was a member of Smile, a band also featuring Chris Spedding and Roger Swallow, the latter a producer-songwriter for Apple. The aforementioned second single was credited to Dennis Coldry and Smile, releasing only one 7-inch for Decca under that name in 1968. Another project that appears rather self-serving for Swallow, with questionable returns for Apple. I guess we should subtract a few more beans. Here's both sides of that Decca single, Penny for the Wind and Tea and Toast, Mr. Watson. At the very least, an interesting snapshot into the late 60s London music scene.
Jolly Jimmy went to town, buy a big balloon. He wandered down the lane, whistling this tune. I'll pay a penny for the wind, I'll ride the Milky Way, I'll float like a butterfly. I'll pay a penny for the wind, I'll ride the Milky Way to a land far away. Well, jolly Jimmy took a breath and waved farewell to the trees. The village stopped and listened to a song on the breeze. I'll pay a penny for the wind, I'll ride the Milky Way, I'll float like a butterfly. I'll pay a penny for the wind, I'll ride the Milky Way to a land far away. The daffodils, they whisper, I wonder where he's gone. The angels reply, he won't be very long, he won't be very long. Jolly Jimmy's little rhyme returned on its wings, now playing in the streets, all the children sing. I'll pay a penny for the wind, I'll ride the Milky Way, I'll float like a butterfly. I'll pay a penny for the wind, I'll ride the Milky Way to a land far away. I'll pay a penny for the wind, and I'll ride the Milky Way, I'll float like a butterfly. I'll pay a penny for the wind, and I'll ride the Milky Way to a land far away. I'll pay a penny for the wind, and I'll ride the Milky Way, I'll float like a butterfly.
listening to The Vinyl Garage.
Thank you.
aforementioned Legay was a psychedelic freak band from Leicester, who in 1971 would record two LPs for United Artists under the name of Gypsy. But while Legay, they recorded one single for Fontana. The A-side, No One, was a psychedelic fuzz guitar sitar-lated time machine, but it's the B-side that was represented by Apple Publishing, the absurd poppy psych tune, The Fantastic Story of the Steam-Driven Banana. On the next cut, Apple this time scored the plug side of the Cups only single Good as Gold, found on Tetragrammaton in the US and Polydor in Britain. The Cups were actually Benny Gallagher and Graham Lyle when they were hired as songwriters at Apple Publishing and were one of the few Apple employees that actually put some of those beans back in to the jar. Next up, two of the three demos they cut while Apple hired songwriters, Technicolor Dream and Ivy Unrehearsed. They would go on to record nine LPs for A&M as Gallagher and Lyle, and six more as members of the band McGinnis Flint. They were a rarity, having survived the turmoil of Apple to be relatively successful musicians and songwriters.
A 200 mile per hour standstill. I lit a cigarette and thought well of you. Susie Ann wrote me a summer, told me not to come back home. It was not so much for the words she said, more for the fact that we said in a distant way. I knew she was trying to tell me that you had flown. And many times I wondered what was on my mind. I never had the time in my Technicolor dream, and I couldn't leave behind all my Technicolor dreams when I chose to drink the wine of my Technicolor dream. I tried to reply, but I never found the phrases. Never one to be writing me, but I'd have thought it was the very least you'd do. Sometimes when I lose direction, I think of you. And once again I wonder what was on my mind when I never had the time. My Technicolor dream, and I couldn't leave behind all my Technicolor dreams when I chose to drink the wine of my Technicolor dream. When I never had the time in my Technicolor dream, and I couldn't leave behind all my Technicolor dreams when I chose to drink the wine of my Technicolor dream.
This is Ivy Unrehearsed. Words, no rhyme in verse. If the thought comes from your head, she says it's better left. ask the reason why. Would you try to trace the path the bluebird flies across the sky? You don't have to go find it. It's here, it's in your heart. Can't you see? It's for free, so let it start. Searching for the way it's so confusing. If you look without, then it's within.
British pop psych band from the Muswell Hill area of London, Turquoise, was signed to Apple Publishing, where they recorded two demos, one of which was eventually released on Decca in 1968, but for some reason without an Apple Publishing credit. Here's Woodstock, the A-side to the aforementioned single.
Woodstock, la 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 la. Still see her standing by the door. I can hear her crying, la 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 la, beside the railings of the Woodstock candy store.
Yes, I see the face, yeah, the lace on her arm. Fine, peace of mind, it's so kind, down at Woodstock.
Don't you lie, please
Jigsaw was a pop band from Coventry when they recorded the Apple demo, A Good Idea. It finally appeared on vinyl as the B-side to Mr. Job in 1968 on the MGM subsidiary Music Factory label. I'm really shaking things up with a song that you will actually know, Badge by Cream, and its relationship with Apple Publishing. The cut, written by Eric Clapton and George Harrison, depending on when and where, had numerous publishing credits. The initial UK release had assigned publishing to Clapton's Dratleaf and Apple. Subsequent copies displayed Robert Stigwood's Casserole and Apple. Stigwood was Cream's manager. Initial U.S. copies on Atco didn't mention Apple at all. And modern-day releases of Badge give the Apple portion to Harrison's Harris Songs Publishing Company. Due to contractual reasons, Harrison's contribution to the track as the rhythm guitarist went uncredited.
Thinking about the times you drove in my car. Thinking that I might have drove you too far. And I'm thinking about the love that you laid on my table. I told you not to wander around in the dark. I told you about the swans that they live in the park. Then I told you about our kid, now he's married to Mabel. I told you that the light was
closing out the Apple story with two bands that were scheduled to release an LP on Apple but were subsequently canceled, Delaney and Bonnie and MacGuffin McGear. Delaney and Bonnie Bramlett were husband and wife soul blues rock singers who, for their second LP, signed with Elektra. The album Accept No Substitute was also slated to be released on Apple when no one at the label bothered to check if they were already under contract elsewhere, going so far as to assign an Apple catalog number and print test pressings using Elektra's masters. Needless to say, Jack Holzman at Elektra was not impressed. The invalid contract that Bramlett signed with Apple was voided, and the record was released on Elektra. They wouldn't put up with them for very long. It would be their only album on that label. From the aforementioned long player, The Ghetto, a staple of their live show and a song covered by the Staple Singers in 1968.
If you ever live in a ghetto, it may be at the close of your day, from your front porch you hear the sound of a jukebox.
McGear, the latter being Paul McCartney's brother Michael, was also to be an Apple release, but was presented on Parlophone instead. No Apple catalog number was specified. They're best known for the single Lily the Pink after forming the band Scaffold. Here's So Much from their self-titled Parlophone LP. Perfectly good hour of your life you'll never get back spent listening to me. The Vinyl Garage applauds your discerning taste. Questions, comments, your undying allegiance, or outright disdain can be directed at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com or Facebook/Vinyl Garage Show. So until next time, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening. Great.